The ultimate sign you are headed for the worst day of your existence is this. It's when you wake up one morning only to realize your family has totally disappeared. And then you run to turn on your TV set to see what is going on. And there you spy a worldwide special news report declaring not just your family, but millions of people all over this planet are gone. They vanished. And then suddenly, as you look over on the coffee table at your loved one's Bible, it dawns on you. Your family was right after all. When they kept telling you about this rapture of the church, and then to your horror, your ultimate bad day is real. You have been left behind. And now you will be catapulted into the 7-year tribulation that is coming upon this planet. And people, for those you may not know, hello, the time of tribulation is not a party. It is an outpouring of God's wrath on a wicked and rebellious planet. In fact, Jesus Christ the Messiah, he said this in Matthew 24. He said it's going to be a time, quote, of greater horror than anything this world has ever seen or will ever see again. In fact, unless that time of calamity was shortened, the entire human race will be destroyed. But praise God, God's not just a God of wrath, he's a God of what? Love, okay? And because he's a God of love, folks, he's given you and I many warning signs to wake us up, to let us know when the tribulation was near and his second coming was rapidly approaching. Therefore, to keep you and I from experiencing, hello, the ultimate worst bad day of being left behind, we're going to begin a new series entitled The Final Countdown. The Final Countdown. And folks, what we are going to embark on is we're going to look at the 10 signs given by God to lovingly wake you and I up to give our lives to him before it's too late. There is no time to waste, so let's get started. The number 10th sign on the Final Countdown as we count down is none other than the Jewish people. The 10th sign on the Final Countdown letting us know we are in the last days is the Jewish people. People of God, one of the first and foremost important prophetic events on God's end time calendar is concerning the Jewish people. In short, you want to know how close it is? You better pay attention to the Jewish people. In minute detail, the Lord prophesied specific events that would happen to the Jewish people alone, given a clear indication that we really are of that generation when you are living in the last days. So what are these specific prophecies fulfilled today by the Jewish people, letting us know we are in that generation, the last days? Dario, thanks for asking that question. It works well with my notes. Excellent. I'm glad you asked. The first end time prophecy concerning the Jewish people. Folks, when the Bible says, wake up, when this happens, you better wake up. Your redemption is near. Is when the Jewish people would return to the land. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. So open your Bibles to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Now, you guys are on the ball. Isaiah, of course, was written by Isaiah. Right on. If you guys got that one wrong, I had to preach on something else, but that's right. Isaiah 43, okay? And we're going to read verses 1 through 6, and it's pretty obvious. How do you know you live in the last days? What is God going to do? Folks, God's wrath, his judgment on humanity is coming, okay? But because he's love, he gives us warning signs, and this is the first one, okay, that he tells us. When you see this happen, wake up, stop living life as it's normal, as if in the days of Noah eating and drinking and marrying. We don't have time for that. It's time to wake up. Isaiah 43 verses 1 through 6 says this. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Get this. And I will be, here's the sign. I will bring your children from the what? The east. And gather you from the what? The west. I will say to the what? The north. Give them up. And to the what? The south. Do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the what? From the earth. People of God, ever since the destruction of the Jewish temple in 70 AD, the Jewish people have been scattered all over the earth. But wake up, in the last century alone, millions of Jews have returned to Israel, fulfilling this very prophecy. In fact, just like the Bible said, get this, is amazing. Not only did they specifically come from the east, the west, the north, and the south, they came in that exact order. First from the East, if you know your history, in the early 1900s, when many Jews living in the Middle East moved back to Israel. Then from the West, during the mid-1900s, hundreds of thousands of Jews returned back to Israel from the U.S. and from Europe. And then, folks, from the North, during the 1980s, Russia finally began to allow hundreds of thousands of Jews to return to Israel. And then finally, of course, it's almost like it's scripted out. And then finally from the South, Israel struck a deal with Ethiopia's communist government. And on the weekend of May 25th, 1991, 14,500 Ethiopian Jews were airlifted to Israel. Pay attention to what's going on. Every single day when you watch the news, you are watching Bible prophecy unfold before your very eyes. More and more Jews, are they not, returning to Israel every single year from all over the world, like the Bible said. First from the East, the West, the North, the South, just like the Bible said. When? When you are in the last days. But that's not all. That's just the tip of the iceberg. The second end time prophecy concerning the Jewish people is God said you wouldn't just come back to the nation. Hello, you would come back, not just to land, but you would come back and form a nation again. The people who were not a people could come back and be a nation again. Isaiah 11, here's this prophecy, verse 11 through 12 says, in that day, the Lord will bring back a remnant of his people for what? For a second time, returning them from the land of Israel, from Assyria, Lower Egypt, Upper Egypt, Ethiopia, Elam, Babylonia, Hamath, and all the distant coastlands. And he will raise a flag among the what? The nations for Israel to rally around. He will gather the scattered people of Judah from the ends of the earth. Now again, for those of you who may not know, ever since 721 BC, that's how long it's been. And this is happening. Ever since 721 BC, approximately 14 different peoples have possessed the land of Israel. Yet as we clearly saw, folks, the Bible prophesied long ago that one day the nation of Israel would be reborn. One day the people who are no people would become a people again and regain their independence. And can anybody guess what happened on May 14th, 1948? That's right. After centuries and centuries and centuries, waiting after century, the people who were scattered all over this world not just returned to the land, but they became a nation again. From out of nowhere, against all odds, Israel was reborn. And if you know your history, even in 1967, the Jewish people took back Jerusalem, just like the Bible said. When? When you are in the last days. The third end time prophecy concerning the Jewish people showing us we are in the last days, folks. Wake up. Is that one day, Israel, you wouldn't just come back to the land. You would come back as a nation. In fact, you would come back exactly in one day. Let's take a look at that prophecy in the Bible. It says this, Isaiah 66 verse 8 says, who has ever seen or heard of anything as strange as this? And that's kind of like God's way of saying, wake up. Watch this. I'm going to do something unique and special. He says, has a nation ever been born in a single day? Has a country ever come forth in a mere moment? But by the time Jerusalem's birth pains begin, the baby will be born. The nation will come forth. Folks, once again, according to the word of God, I think it's pretty specific. Again, on the morning of May 14th, 1948, at precisely 4 p.m., the members of the People Council signed the proclamation. The declaration was made, and I quote directly, the state of Israel is established. This meeting is ended, just like that. Israel did not just come back to the land. It did not just come back to form a nation. It happened exactly in one day, just like the Bible said. When you were in the last days. But that's still the fourth end time prophecy, folks, showing us that we are in the last days. Concerning the Jewish people is the sign, folks, is that Israel would come back as a united nation. Let's take a look at that prophecy. Here's what it says. Ezekiel 37, verse 21, 22 says, and give them this message from the sovereign Lord. It's a word of encouragement. I will gather the people of Israel from among the nations. I will bring them home to their land, their own land, from the places where they have been scattered. And I will what? I will unify them into one nation in the land. One king will rule them all. No longer will they be divided into two nations. And again, for those of you who may not know the scripture, and you certainly don't know your history, okay, pay attention. In about 926 BC, as you know in the account of the Old Testament, the Jewish people started out as a single nation, but what happened? They became a divided nation. The northern 10 tribes were called Israel. The southern 2 tribes were called Judah. And it stayed that way until now. People, wake up. When the Jewish people regained their independence in 1948, get this, for the first time in 2,900 years, the Jewish people were a united nation again. Not two, just like the Bible said. When? When you're in the last days, it's time to wake up. The fifth end time prophecy concerning the Jewish people is their currency would be the shekel. You talk about specifics. Listen to this. This is a passage dealing with the future temple sacrifices, okay? Here's what it says. Ezekiel 45. God leaves nothing undone, folks. Ezekiel 45, 12, 13, 16 said this. The standard unit for weight will be the what? See, he calls it out. The silver shekel. This tax you must give to the prince. All the people of Israel must join the prince in bringing their offerings using what? The silver shekel, okay? And folks, what's going on here? We see the Bible clearly predicted that in the future temple sacrifices, the people of Israel, they wouldn't just be paying their taxes. God throws out a specific bone. What's he say? You are specifically going to pay these taxes. In what? Currency. In a shekel, right? But the problem is, folks, if you know your history, Israel's currency was not the shekel. It was the British pound until 1980. That's how recent it is. Until it just happened to be changed into the shekel, and which is being used on up to this very day. And just a couple weeks ago, or a couple days ago, I just read an article, the shekel's doing great against the low dollar. We're in the last days. Wake up. But that's still not all, folks. God is very, very precise. The six end time prophecy concerning the Jewish people. Get this. Is you would blossom as a rose in the desert. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've really been refraining from growing a garden, even though we got a good patch in the backyard. I mean, guys, I don't even have a green, the green thumb. I got the brown finger. I can't grow nothing. You know what I'm saying? But imagine me trying to grow something in the desert. God said, wake up when you see the flowers taken off in the desert. When Israel comes back, your redemption is drawn near. Let's take a look at that passage. Very specific in here. Isaiah 35, verse 1 through 2 says this. But even the wilderness will rejoice in those days. The desert will what? Blossom with flowers. Yes, there'll be an abundance of flowers. Not just some, but an abundance of flowers. And singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel's pastures, and the plain of Sharon or Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory and the splendor of our God. Folks, according to the Bible, it's very obvious in the last days, one of the signs is all of a sudden you're going to see a lot of, specifically, flowers take off in the desert. But here's the problem, if you know your history. When Mark Twain visited Israel in the 1860s, he reported that Israel was a complete barren wasteland, absolutely desert, no trees, nothing, it was wiped out. And the reason why was because almost 2,000 years of foreign conquerors had totally abused the land and had made it into a wasteland. But it just so happened when the Jews began to return, they didn't just return, they started building a network of irrigation systems. And right now, partly because of a massive tree replanting program, there are over 400 million trees in Israel. It's increased the rainfall by 450%. In fact, Israel, the former desert, has now become the breadbasket of the Middle East. And they're actually not just exporting fruit from the desert, they're exporting it all over the world. In fact, Israel diverted the water from the Sea of Galilee, get this, and channeled it through the sections of guess where? The desert, right now today, which have allowed the deserts to literally blossom with an abundance of flowers. Even to the point, get this, Israel, now the former desert, has now become a major world exporter of, guess what? Flowers and ornamental plants. The Bible said, when? When you are in the last days. But that's still a seventh end time prophecy concerning the Jewish people. It's one day they would have a powerful military. Did they have one? Slightly. Listen to this. God said, here, wake up. When you see this, your redemption's coming near. Zechariah 12:6 says this. On that day, I will make, God speak, I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot in a wood file. Crown translation, how many men got a barbecue and you put way too much of the fluid on there? Okay, that's kind of what God's going to do with Israel. Okay, that's it. Anyway, like a flaming torch among sheaves, they will consume Israel, will consume right and left all the surrounding peoples, but Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. Grown translation, don't mess with Israel. You're messing with God. But that's not all what I want to bring up. Folks, outnumbered, against all odds. If you know the history of Israel when they got back in the land, Israeli forces have astounded the world by their victories over and over and over again during six wars. For instance, folks, within hours of Israel's declaration of independence, get this, Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Lebanon, all immediately invaded Israel. The combined population of those countries at that time was about 20 million people, yet Israel had maybe not even almost a million people. The odds were 20 to 1. But when all was said and done, the Jewish people didn't just win the war, they totally spanked them. I had one of my teachers in seminary, he was actually there in the 67 war, I believe. He saw with his own eyes. He said they were completely, I was there, I was hiding behind the sand with the camera. He said, but he said, it was weird. It was something, he said, you could feel it. Spiritual was going on. Israel might have one tank, and here comes six at them. When the dust cleared, they were still there, and the other tanks were gone. Time after time after time after again. But what is going on, folks? They not just won that war, the first one, but they expanded their size of Israel by 50%. And wake up, pay attention to the prophecy. Right now, today, Israel has one of the most powerful military forces in the world with full nuclear capabilities. Hands down, they're the most powerful military influence in the region, just like the Bible said, when you are in the last days. But that's still all. The next one concerning the Jewish people is they become a center of world conflict. Do we see that? Wake up, folks. Every time you turn on the news, you're watching this unfold before your very eyes. Zechariah, verse 12, 2 and 3 says this, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. And on that day when the what? The nations of the world's going to turn against Israel. Are people starting to do that? He says, on that day when the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock to all the nations, for and all who try to move it will actually injure themselves. People of God, again, as we already said in 1948, when the Jewish people became that nation, within hours, the nations around them have declared war against Israel, and the fighting has never stopped. It also just so happens that Israel happens to be at one of the most strategic, significant points in the country for the world's oil reserves. Then to make matters even worse, Israel happens to be the headquarters of the world's three largest religions. And that's why you and I can turn on the newspaper, read the newspaper, turn on the TV every single day and see that Israel has indeed, tiny little Israel, you can fit 17 of them in the state of California, has become a center of what? World conflict, an international problem, just like the Bible said. When you're in the last days. The ninth and final sign of the Jewish people knowing you are in the last days is when you saw the people doing what? When they would rebuild a temple. Wake up, folks, this is happening right now. Revelation 11, verse 2 says this, leave out during this, the tribulation is the context. This is during the tribulation. Pay attention. Leave out the court which is outside the what? The temple, okay? And do not measure it, for it has been given to the nations, and they will tread underfoot the holy city, Jerusalem, defined by the context, for 42 months. Now, folks, again, according to the Bible, according to the book of Revelation specifically, it clearly reveals that there will be a Jewish temple during the time of the tribulation, right? Okay, but the only problem is the temple was destroyed back in 70 AD, okay? But gee whiz, can anybody guess? Just who happens to be preparing to build another temple right now? The Jewish people. But the problem is the Muslim Dome of the Rock is sitting right where many believe that the new temple needs to be. And so there's a conflict. And folks, that's why you got to wake up. It isn't just a land issue. This is why there's such strife in Israel. It's not just a land issue. It's a spiritual issue. But strife or not, the Bible is clear. One day, the end times temple will be rebuilt. In fact, many scholars believe it's going to possibly occur as a result of a peace treaty. Where's everybody wanting to make peace treaties? Of a peace treaty with the Antichrist himself, which is a single prophetic event that starts the 7-year tribulation. Daniel 9:27 says he, that's the Antichrist, will make a treaty with the people, the Jewish people, for a period of one set of seven. That's 7 years. He's fulfilling Daniel's 70th week prophecy. We've gone through 69. There's one to go. That's the 7-year tribulation. But after this time, half this time, he, the Antichrist, will put an end to the sacrifices and offering. Paul tells us that's when the Antichrist goes up into this newly built temple. He declares himself to be God, and he seeks then to annihilate 2/3 of the Jewish people. Folks, according to the Bible, if you read it, folks, we see that the specific event that starts the 7-year tribulation is when the Antichrist doesn't just make a treaty, he makes a treaty with who? The Jewish people. And folks, can anybody guess where in the world, the whole world, has been for several years trying to make a treaty with? Wake up, people, it's Israel. And that means, guess what? One of these proposed treaties that our minds have become so numb to, one of them, folks, is going to be with the Antichrist. And it'll be the single event that starts the tribulation. It's happening now. And many feel that the Antichrist, with his fabulous charisma and his false miracles, is going to be the only one to convince Israel to give up more land. Is that happening? Yeah. And then he's going to use that as a barter tool, a carrot, to get them the permission to rebuild this temple. But get this. It just so happens, folks, that right now, even if they don't get permission to rebuild the temple on the Dome of the Rock, get this, Jewish archaeologists right now today are believing that it could actually be in two different locations, just a little bit to the north or just a little bit to the south, which means even if they don't get permission to build it where the Dome of the Rock is, they can still build it right now. And what you've got to understand, folks, is that the Jewish people, they're not looking to do this. Wake up, this is the temple that will exist in the tribulation. They are looking to build this thing not 100 years down the road. The blueprints for the temple are ready now. In fact, a group in Israel called the Temple Mount Faithful are training priests right now to serve in this temple. They've even reconstructed most of the clothing and the articles are required for worship. It's already done, just sitting waiting for permission. Here's some pictures, folks. You can check this out yourself. Go to templeinstitute.org. Check it out for yourself. Here's a picture of the Temple Mount area. Again, that's the Dome of the Rock. A little bit to the north or a little bit to the south. Jewish archaeologists said, no, we could actually build it there. Okay, is what's going on. Here's the model of the suggested new temple. Already been well planned out. Here's another view of it, looking from the entry. Here's the front view, very ornate. And they're following, again, exactly to the Mosaic law. It's going on right now. Here's the ramp leading up to the offer where they will be offering, once again, Old Testament animal sacrifices. And this is the entryway to the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. This is where they're storing all their articles. This is where they're training the priesthood and everything like that. Here's the first golden menorah constructed since the destruction of the Holy Temple in 70 AD. We'll get to the importance of that in just a second. Here's the garments of the ordinary priests and the loom. It's already done, completely handmade, directly to the Mosaic law. Here's the spinning wheel with colored threads arranged for the high priest's garments. Here's two of the 72 golden bells, all of them already made, to be around the hem of the high priest's robe, ready to go. Here's some of the golden flasks needed for water libation. Here's the silver shovel for removing ashes from the altar of sacrifice. Here's the gold and silver plated ram's horn to be blown in the holy temple services. Here's the silver trumpets to announce temple services and regular festivals. Here's one of the harps to be used for music in the temple services. Here's one of the lyres to be used for music in the temple services. They got the instruments already done. Here's some of the wooden and golden lots used to determine which goat will be used for the sacrifice, which one will be the scapegoat as well. Here is the view in the middle, and that is pure gold, folks, of the golden altar of incense in the middle. Here's the actual knives right now sitting ready to go to be used for the sacrifices being offered at the temple. They're done. Here's the reconstructed out of gold, the table of showbread. Here's the laver. There's the one of the incense chalices. Here's the actual garments waiting for the high priest. Here's the close-up of the breastplate. No, that's not fake ones you get in the gumball machine. They're spending some serious cash, folks. Those are actual jewels. Okay, in fact, things are getting so close, folks, that for the first time since it was removed by the Romans at the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, the golden menorah is not just finished, it's once again returned to the temple area. And right now, this happened just a couple weeks ago, folks, wake up. The golden crown for the high priest to serve in the temple is now complete. You will see on this video, they're just waiting for permission to slap it on his head. Let's take a look.
The Bible commands us, and you shall make a menorah of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the menorah be made. To meet this daunting challenge, the Temple Institute, after many months of intensive research, assembled a team of artisans and craftsmen, engineering experts and scientists, to recreate the golden menorah fit for use in the Holy Temple. The menorah contains 95 pounds of pure gold. Today valued at $2 million, its total weight is 0.5 ton. For 2,000 years, the Jewish people have become accustomed to the scene depicted on the Arch of Titus, notorious symbol of Jewish exile. Our forefathers, forced to carry the sacred vessels of the Holy Temple out of Jerusalem and into exile. Witnessing the menorah once again being carried through the streets of Jerusalem, but this time towards the Holy Temple, filled the people with an overwhelming feeling that history was being reversed. A circle being closed. Shalom, I'm Rabbi Chaim Richman from the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. With me is Rabbi Yehuda Glick, the General Director of the Institute. This is a very historic moment. We have just received the newest vessel that the Institute has been working on for some time now. We have just received it from the craftsmen, and it is the golden crown of the high priest. You know that the high priest wears the 8 golden garments, and one of them describes in the Torah is a golden crown which sits not on top of his head like a king would wear, but across his forehead, and it carries the words holiness unto the Lord, Kodesh Lashem. And this is a very, very special moment, and in fact it's quite historic. And specifically at this time in our modern history, when the people of Israel and the state of Israel are facing very similar dangers to those that our people faced during the story of Hanukkah, both from within and from without, we are facing forces of darkness that really wish to undo the Jewish character of the state of Israel. We at the Temple Institute are continuing our efforts towards the restoration of the service of the Temple and the building of the Temple.
And as I say, it's ready to be used, and if we find out during this program that they have permission to start building, I think we will be very happy to bring this there.
And our goal is the restoration of the divine service and the rebuilding of the Holy Temple. May it be soon, and may the whole world be uplifted, really, by the presence of the Shekhinah, the divine presence, once again in this world.
Mazel tov.
Folks, do we have any idea the days we're living in?
Oh, that we would be like the men of Issachar, who were men of understanding because they understood the times in which they lived. What are they talking about? They are that close to rebuilding the temple once again, which will be the temple that is mentioned in the time of tribulation. As you guys can clearly see, almost everything is ready right now to rebuild this temple, except for one thing. The Bible calls it the importance of a red heifer. Let's take a look at that passage in Numbers 19, verse 1 through 4. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is a requirement of the law that the Lord has commanded. Tell the Israelites to bring you a red heifer," not brown, not green. Don't get the green one, that's probably bad meat. But anyway, the red heifer, okay, without defect or blemish, that has never been under a yoke. Give it to Eleazar the priest, and it's to be taken outside the camp and slaughtered in his presence. Then Eleazar the priest is to take some of its blood on his finger and sprinkle it 7 times toward the front of the tent of the meeting. Folks, according to the Bible, the ashes of a pure, very specific, ashes of a pure red heifer are needed to perform the necessary purification and cleansing rituals that are a part of the service of the temple. But the problem is this. Ever since the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, pure red heifers no longer exist. Until now. Believe it or not, a red heifer was born in Israel just a couple years ago. And even though it ended up having a slight blemish, and hence it was disqualified, here's the point. It just so happens after all these years, after all these centuries, they're starting to appear on the scene again. And then to make matters even more interesting, even if it doesn't happen naturally, get this. We just happen to be living in the days when the first time in man's history we could create a red heifer artificially through genetic engineering and cloning. It's going to happen. And then to make matters even more interesting, for the first time in 1600 years, we've seen the birth, the rebirth of the Jewish Sanhedrin High Council just the last couple years ago. And then the Jewish people right now are expecting a high expectation of their Messiah, which of course would be the false Messiah, but they're still expecting him at any time. In fact, it's getting so close. Listen to these articles, folks, in the actual Jewish newspapers. Listen to this. You tell me if they're expecting. One rabbi said the most important event in the Messianic era will be the rebuilding of the Holy Temple. It is the act of building the temple. This is the temple in the tribulation. Of the temple, folks, that will establish the identity of the Messiah beyond all shadow of a doubt. The Messiah will be a king over Israel, and a king can only be crowned by the Sanhedrin. Is it in place now? Yes, it is. The reason why he will come to Jerusalem first is to be recognized by the Sanhedrin. Chief Rabbi Barel Lazar believes that the earth will soon see the coming of the Messiah to judge all mankind. Quote, "We know that he is very near at hand. The Messiah, get this, may well have been born already." Probably the Antichrist is alive and well on the planet too, waiting for that treaty with Israel. The world today, he says, is in a state of described by our sages as the Hevla Mashiach, that is labor. Get this. I don't even know if he knows what's coming out of his mouth. The labor that precedes the coming of a Messiah. That's exactly what Jesus said. His coming was going to happen suddenly as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. He says, we are living on the verge of a history. It can be felt everywhere.
Do you feel it?
And finally, this rabbi says this, Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri called upon the worldwide Jewry to return now to Israel due to natural disasters which threaten to strike the world. Quote, in the future, the Holy One, blessed is He, will bring about great disasters in the countries of the world to sweeten the judgments of the land of Israel. I am ordering the publication of this declaration as a warning so that the Jews in the countries of the world will be aware of the impending danger and will come to the land of Israel for the building of the what? Of the temple and the revelation of a righteous Mashiach or Messiah. Get this direct. Quote, the Mashiach or Messiah is already in Israel. That's what they believe. People of God, here is my point. Pay attention. Let's put these pieces together for significance. If you and I are in the days when we see for the first time in man's history the possibility of a red heifer out of nowhere coming back into existence, and if we see suddenly, just the last 2 years, the rebirth of the Jewish Sanhedrin, and if we see the Jewish people right now have pretty much everything in place to rebuild the end times temple right now, which might include making a 7-year treaty with the Antichrist, which is the single event that starts the time clock on the 7-year tribulation. Wake up. Here's the point. How much then closer is the rapture of the church? People, wake up. We are in the last days. And what makes this so absolutely ironic is even though out of love, God has left behind for us so much ample evidence of His soon return, some people refuse to heed the warning, and then even when we try to tell them, what do? They look at you and I like, we're the wackos. You talk about specifics. The Bible said, when you're in the last days, that's exactly what people are going to do. Read your Bibles, folks. Not even this escapes God. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 to 4. First, I want to remind you, Peter says, that in the what? The last days, here's going to be attitudes of the people. There will be what? Scoffers. And they're going to laugh at the truth. And they're going to continue doing every evil thing they desire. And here's going to be the argument. Tell me you haven't heard this. This will be the argument. Jesus promised to come back, did He? Then where is He? Right? Why, as far back as anybody can remember, everything has remained exactly the same since the world was created. You've been saying that for how long, Christians? People of God, I hope you are not one of those scoffers. I hope you're not one of those scoffers who wakes up too late to realize you have been left because of your scoffing heart of unbelief. You've been left behind. And you know what? So does God. Why? Because He loves you. And that's why He's given us the sign of the Jewish people to let us know when the tribulation was near and His second coming was rapidly approaching. And that's exactly why Jesus said, Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, Christian, stand up, lift up your heads, the redemption is drawing near. People of God, like it or not, we are headed for the final countdown. And if you are a Christian, it is time to stand and live for Jesus Christ. And if you're not, I beg you, please, give your life to Jesus now. Because tomorrow may be too late, just like the Bible said.